Oh, what a wonderful name it really is, the name of Jesus. Lord, we come here today with hearts that have felt a lot of things this past week. We've got people that need your healing touch. Need your healing touch on a knee, a hip, a shoulder. A healing from a surgery. And Lord, we've got people that are looking at next week, and they've got things that are challenging next week. And we want you to bring comfort and peace to them as they prepare for next week. But right now, on this day, we open up our hearts to you, to that wonderful name of Jesus, knowing what Jesus did for us as he came to this earth, gave his life for us, allowing us to be brothers and sisters in your family. And we give thanks for that. But as he left, as he joined you in heaven, he promised us a comforter. Lord, we reach out and take the hand of that comforter, knowing that he dwells in us, and that brings the peace, kindness, and the joy. We're very fortunate in this congregation, Lord. We've got people that are scattered all over the state, our delegates and our pastor staff down in Springfield. And as Brett prayed earlier, yes, bless them. Especially bless Mike, as he just had his ordination last night and received an assignment. But Lord, we've got Lori that's going to Green Valley. We've got Brian Corbett that's preaching up in Ridgeway. We've got Vi that's preaching at Epworth. Would you anoint them? Anoint them in the message they bring, the message that you have for them. Today we'd like to also bless the assembly, Bethel Assembly Church. As they meet today, as they worship you, may those brothers and sisters in the same family, as they gather, find peace and comfort in what you can bring to them. Energize their ministry and their missions and build them up in the kingdom. And today, as we, again, as brothers and sisters in faith, join those of all the different churches across this community and across around this world, we unite our voice in that ancient prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Why they say
what fortune lies beyond the stars, those dazzling heights too vast to climb. I got so high to fall so far, but I found heaven as love swept low, my heart beating, my soul breathing. Treasure waits within your scars, the gift of freedom gold can't buy. I bought the world and sold my find me here at your feet again. Everything I am, reaching out, I surrender. Come sweep me up in your love again, and my soul will dance on the wings of forever. Find me here at your feet again. Everything I am, reaching out, I surrender. Come sweep me up in your love again, and my soul will dance on the wings of forever. My heart beating, my soul breathing, I found my life when I laid it down. Upward falling, spirit soaring, I touch the sky when my knees hit the ground. My heart beating, my soul breathing, I found my life when I laid it down. Upward falling, spirit soaring, I touch the skies when my knees hit the ground. Find me here at your feet again. Everything I am, reaching out, I surrender. Sweep me up in your love again, and my soul will dance on the wings of forever. Upward falling, spirit soaring, I touch the sky when my knees hit the ground.
My name is Cliff McBride. Jim, first of all, Mike and family are in Springfield. Last night, Mike was ordained as a Methodist pastor, full connection. And some of you guys were down there, and you got to witness that, and that's great. Jim was one of the guys that was in charge of that program, and they've got continued duties today. We've got other people from this church scattered from North Missouri to West Missouri to other places in town that are bringing the message because their pastors are in Springfield as well. That's how I end up here. And I don't know how many people Jim asked before he got to me, but he got to me. Last week, Pastor Jim spoke on the book of Acts. He was talking about that early church and the enthusiasm that came with that early church. He was talking about how the Holy Spirit came. Jesus said, "You wait. It'll be there." And they waited. Now, things were going on outside the door, so they waited in a room. They waited. And then the Holy Spirit showed up in a very visible manner as recorded in the Scriptures. And after the Holy Spirit blessed them, entered them, became a part of them, Jim talked about how their words had strength, how the things they did were built up, how the power of what he had taught for the last 3 years happened with them. You know, we're a people of walls and boxes. You get a present to ship somebody, you find a box that's the right size. It's good to find things that fit inside boxes that you can close the lid, tape it up, ship it off. A little bit larger if you got to add packing. It's good to find out that there's walls, boundaries, fences, because we understand I only have to talk to the back of the wall. I don't have to be raising my voice to talk to the people in the next room. We understand limitations. We understand why we can only see so far because the earth curves, especially for you sailors out there. We understand why we have a limit. I find myself thinking, oh gosh, they've just discovered a million light years away another star. That's great. I wonder where the wall is past that.
We are a people of walls.
And Jim last week said that we've got to stretch. We've got to reach out. We've got to understand and stretch us to accept this mystery of the Holy Spirit. It's a holy mystery. But first, as we go into to explore that today, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being here and for us to have the opportunity to be here as well. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. When we pick up the story where Jim left off, okay, there immediately began a persecution. The rest of the Jewish community, if they didn't understand, were going to stiff arm this group called the Way. And as they did that, sometimes they did that in pretty unkind ways. They had the persecution resulted in dispersing the people. Boy, if this town's going to treat me like this, I'm going to go down the road. If I'm going to have to go to jail or go, maybe I can go to another country. And there were close countries they could go to. It caused the dispersion. In chapter 7 of the book of Acts, it goes into detail about one of the stories of a man named Stephen. And he told, this is my experience. And this is where it comes from in the scripture. And he was able to explain where he was and what he was. And the people around him said, that is blasphemy. And instead of trying to correct him, they stoned him. And there was a guy that was in charge of that by the name of Saul. Part of that dispersion that went on, even with the apostles. And Philip went to Samaria. When he went to Samaria, he preached Christ and Jesus as the Savior. He preached it, and there were people that heard, and they believed, and they were baptized. In Samaria, there was another guy by the name of Simon the Sorcerer. And the scriptures were told we're supposed to stay away from sorcery. Simon the Sorcerer observed, he heard, he accepted Jesus as the Christ and believed. He was baptized. He worked with Philip in the ministry. Now, when something's going good, other people in the church want to go find out about it. So the apostles heard about it in Jerusalem, and Peter and John decide they're going to go find out what's going on in Samaria. Well, they get there, and they said, you guys haven't been baptized by the Holy Spirit. No, we've been baptized by water. Philip, one of your apostles, did that. You have not been baptized by the Holy Spirit. So by the laying on of hands, Peter and John baptized in the Holy Spirit. In the book, it says, Simon saw this. So if he saw it, then he saw something visible. He saw something that he could discern was a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was a positive thing. And he went to Peter and John and says, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to give people that power. I will pay you money if you will. Well, guess what? Simon the Sorcerer just crossed the line. He proved that his heart was not in the right place because he wanted to do it to extend his power. Peter, recognizing that his heart was not in the right place, called him out on it and put an unbeliever's curse on him, which Simon recognized and begged him. You can go take a look in the scriptures. Philip ended up going to the desert right after that. And he ran into the Ethiopian who was trying to break the code. I'm reading Isaiah. I'm reading the prophecy of Isaiah. And Philip asked him, do you understand it?
He says, how can I understand it if someone doesn't share with me what it is that I'm reading? So Philip explained to him what it was. And he says, get in this chariot. We're going to go. And probably wasn't going. He didn't even ask if Philip was going his way. Get in the chariot. Explain it to me. The Ethiopian probably had some power. And so Philip explained the prophecies to him. And he said, well, then, if that's the case, there's an oasis. I can be baptized by water. Let's get baptized. Philip did. He was pleased, happy. He understood and went on his way. We find that each one has a different experience. Each one varies. But what are the similarities? Well, let's hit one more story before I get to the similarities. Saul was a Pharisee, and he was good. He had studied under some of the best. And as he studied, he had to understand what the prophecies were, what the prophets said. He had to understand what the law was, the Torah. He had to understand how God's plan worked, as it was in the Old Testament. He was a good Pharisee. He could recite and recall from memory all those things of the prophets, major prophets, minor prophets, as well as the law. That was part of the training. As he went through that, he recognized there are traditions we are supposed to keep. There are laws that are very important to the faith. And if we don't keep those traditions in faith, then we are deteriorating what we believe in. That was his position until he went to Damascus with the intent of putting more people of the way into prison. And on the way up there, he met Jesus. Another guy in the story by the name of Ananias. And Ananias was a leader, believer, one of the leaders of the way in Damascus. And the Lord came to him and he says, I want you to go see Saul at this place at this time to do this. Now, Ananias knew his name. And he knew what he was up there for. He had some reservations. It recorded that he had reservations. And if the Bible records it, you can believe he probably had some reservations. Lord, are you sure? He says, yes. Not only does he know that you're coming by name, knows where you live, he knows what you're going to do, and you know where he is and what you need to do. So he went. And he prayed over Saul, and the Holy Spirit entered Saul before he was baptized. Because after he took some food, since he hadn't eaten for a while, he was kind of worried. Then he asked to be baptized. You see, all of these situations vary. There's no box. There's no order. Just like every one of you has a personal experience that you can draw from that you know when you met Jesus. It is an extremely personal thing. But what is the similarity? One, they asked. They asked what it was that they wanted. I want Jesus. When some of them found out that there was a Holy Spirit, they said, I want the Holy Spirit. That puts us in a quandary. Is there two baptisms? We stretch and we grow, but we don't have a good grasp of how we use the Holy Spirit. We toss the name about a lot, but how does it enter in? Where is it in your life? Is it valid? As we read in John 14, Jesus said, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. And they will do even greater things than these. How many people recall some stories that you have heard about Jesus that you say, wow? And Jesus says, you'll do greater things than those. He's talking about you. You say, well, how do I know he's talking about me? Well, let's go to John 17. And Jesus is speaking again. And he's praying for the believers. And he says, I pray, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. The only way we know about Jesus is through their message, the message of the apostles. So Jesus is praying for you. You say, well, I've got doubts. Aren't we glad there's a Thomas in the bunch? I'm not sure. Even if we go to the Old Testament, how many people remember Gideon? He's one of the few guys that survived doing and playing odd man out with God. You know, let's go for, you know, the fleece test. Then we're going, you know, we're going to try it again. Well, God, you've got me 2 out of 3 so far, so I guess we'll go ahead and try this. Doubting's real. In John 20, 29, Jesus told Thomas, because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and have yet believed. Yet have believed. Jesus knew you were going to exist. He knew you. He died for you, for where you are right now. And as we go on, he knew that you're not going to be out there by yourself, because we are people of free will. We've got a mind. I'm married. I know she has a mind. And that's a close relationship. And you have friends, and they know. And they still love you for who you are. Still. Even though they know. That free will means that we have to choose Christ. That free will means that we have to ask for the things that we need. We have to discern those things. So Jesus, in John 14, he says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because he neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you. Each one of you. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. You see, he put the words on your lips, but you're a people of free will, so you're the ones that have to start talking. He will guide our steps, but being a people of free will, we have to make the decision to start walking. We're the ones that have to say yes to what the Holy Spirit nudges us to do. Is it going to be an audible voice? I don't know. Each one of you is different. Each one of you has that personal relationship that we cultivate and we grow with. What are we supposed to be doing in church today then? One of the things that said as we look at Hebrews, encourage one another. And I believe that, especially as the day approaches. I like the idea of being encouraged. Someone says, attaboy, Cliff, go get it. Hey, I'm up for that. I'm the one that's supposed to encourage you. And if I encourage you to your strengths, then that, you know, we don't encourage a football lineman to do a quarterback's job, though I think Andy Reid did play that game one time. The thing is that we encourage them to their strengths. But you don't know my strengths unless I share those strengths with you. So we have to share things with each other. We have to say, I'm going to pick on Lancey a bit. I feel led to work in Vacation Bible School. In your prayer time, as you do that, as you work with that, you go, I feel like I should do something, but I'm not sure what. You know, that's when you sit down with someone that's in charge and say, where can I plug in? Where can you see putting me? I'm up here not because, hey, Jim, I want to talk to the group. No, I'm more comfortable back there. Back row is really nice. You can talk to the people that sit back there. It's really. Right, Ed? Back row is comfortable. I'm peaceful there. Why do you say, why do you do that? I do that because as things occur, I can react to it during the service. There are times that, and you don't see it, Jim will come around the corner, and, or there are times that something will happen back there, someone needs something, I can get it for them. I'm comfortable on the back row because that's where I serve, on the back row, even during worship service. Yeah. But if I don't share that, how can you encourage me? Cliff, you need to be on the back row again. And after this, you probably will be right. The thing is, I have to share that for you to encourage me there. Just as you have to share your strengths for that group to surround you and encourage them. We also have to ask for that power of the Holy Spirit. We have to listen. We have to be aware. And I'm going to tell you that we have to test. Always test. Because the Holy Spirit will never ask you to do something that's not in God's Word. You can verify it. Last winter, there was a group of people of our staff and a few of our congregations that got together and talked about active faith. It's a program that we're looking at to help people have a stronger faith and work closer with what the Holy Spirit's doing in their lives. Especially as we fulfill our mission as this church. And the church's mission, leading people to an active faith in Christ Jesus, fits what we're talking about on active faith. We focus on four areas, the prayer, presence, gifts, and service. And that's where we have to share. We can do it in small groups. You can do it in Sunday school. And the small groups don't have to be here. They can be other places. They don't have to be limited to people of this church. I meet with people of other denominations even. And they encourage me as I encourage them. But we do this to grow to a next level, the next step of our faith. Where we are right now, I was telling a bunch of scouts one time, I says, what if? What you see is what you get, and I said that at the age of 13, and 50 years later, I'm still a 13-year-old with an attitude that's 50 years old. You don't want that. We want to grow in our faith in the same way we grow in our emotions. So we do that by what we do in Christ Jesus. Last Tuesday, a friend of mine, we were in a small group meeting, men's group, and a friend asked one of the other guys there, and he said, well, what is it about your job that can be relied to, you know, bring out part of your faith? And he said, Cliff does this with the Marine Corps, and Gene does this with teaching, and he was talking about the other guys that we've done this over the past, and this guy's fairly new. And he's a safety officer for these high lines that are being put in. The 168 KVA lines that I don't even want to think about falling off. They're rebuilding some. So he's supervising that area. He says, oh, that's easy. He says, dry times happen. When you think that God's not listening, when you think that God's not answering, dry times happen. In my job, we build these high voltage lines, but for safety purposes, and just common sense, you know, you can't just plug it in and have the guy continue to extend it. If there's a problem, they're going to have to break it down. They have to shut the power off. And we rebuild, we reroute, we turn on new equipment, we do things to make it better. And I look at that way spiritually. When God's not speaking, then He is rebuilding me. He's improving me. He's strengthening me so I get more power or more consistency in what I'm doing, just like the high lines. He says, in the dry times, that's when you lean in, put a shoulder, push, because that's when God is making some changes in you. That's when the Holy Spirit's repositioning in you for the next better step. I felt that he had a pretty good idea about his job. And I thought he had a pretty good idea about how the Holy Spirit works in his life. My hope for each of you is that you grow stronger in Christ. May each of you build a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit, being more sensitive to His presence. May each of you hold dear the private times you have to worship and glorify our God. When you say yes to the Holy Spirit, remember you have no limits to the good you'll bring to those around you. Remember, there are no walls. There are no boxes. In your spiritual obedience, just say yes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we ask that you encourage each one of us to be that favorite brother or favorite sister to those people around us, that they'll want to stand by us, that they'll want to listen to us, that they want to be a part of us, so that they can grow a little bit stronger, a little bit more confident, taking that next step for you. We'll have some service pastors that come up front. They'll be able to pray with you as you continue to pray today. It comes from Peter. He was the kind of apostle that I kind of liked. Every time he did something good, you read the next five verses, and he was corrected again. And I think my Christian, my walk has been that way. And I give thanks to those people that have offered those corrections to me. But he writes, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and His own goodness. Amen.